You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans and in chapter 6. Romans and chapter 6. And here we go. Okay. Looking at yourself, you recognize all of us are in a physical body, and all 12 systems are busy working. They're phenomenal systems, and when you study how each part relates and interacts, it blows your mind away to say, wow. Well, we don't, as doctors, have to study that and all those things. Now, having said that, and we enjoy, we are born, young, grow old, and you enjoy your physical body. You enjoy the ability to walk, to move, to see, to hear, just to go down the stairs, to jump around, to do whatever. And we take it for granted. It's an awesome thing your body is. And you appreciate it. And you miss it when you go and start losing your facilities, your ears. You lose your ears, yeah. Lose your hearing and each thing. So as all of that happens, and then you miss it because it was very precious to you. Physical life is very valuable. And when it's missing, you know it, and you miss it when physical life is missing. Now, sin came along way back with Adam and loused up our physical life so that we enjoy this freedom and we assume all of this life we have is automatic until we get where we start losing the parts and the pieces and that kind of thing and get older. We assume it's just there. But as we watch it deteriorate, we realize it can't last. It just isn't. It's wonderful. We just assume you're 20 and you'll never get sick and never lose your hearing. And you'll be great. But it isn't quite like that. So, and we do that. And reason, and we lose it. And we need to lose it because God said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So therefore, God allows the aging as a time to be born, a time to die, etc., etc. And so in the process of that, we realize that all that we have isn't to be. We're going to become dust. Like God said. Now God, that's our physical life. It's a wonderful thing. Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, picking up if I can. In verse 23, in the light of the context. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So it says it very simply for us. Adam's sin came along, and thus we died spiritually. We lost our relationship to God. We had a wonderful relationship to the physical body in which we live. The physical body in which we live is deteriorating, and it gets to the point where we really miss the different parts that we assumed we had. We just owned them. We don't own them. They're only there for a while. And the body isn't meant to stay. But God knows that. And sin is the problem. Our relationship, sin, the absence of life, is death. And therefore, what did you do, God? You have given us a gift. The God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And where is it found? In, through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God, what he's given us, the giver has given us a gift, and he himself is in the gift. So what are we doing here? We're looking for what? We're assembled together as believers, Christians. We're assembled together to honor God and look to God. And that's what we're doing. We're recognizing, not really people understand, do it, but we're supposed to be recognizing, we're coming together to say thank you for God who have given us himself. That's what we're doing. We're being thankful for God to give us himself. We already have this, human, physical, but we need God. And God is in the gift. God is the gift. And that's what we're doing. We're supposed to be honoring and recognizing that God has given us a unique, awesome relationship to himself. And keeping in mind, God is, and if you want to study and read and think and be whatever you want, I'll do all those things. When you're all done, God always wins. When you've studied everything and been religious up to your eyeballs, when you're all done, God always wins. So we don't have to mess around. Well, is God alive? Is God there? Where is God? We have to do that. No, we have to do that. No, sir. No, sir. We already, God, you already won. No arguments. So now, God, what have you done? You've given us a unique, wonderful relationship to yourself. It's a gift. And it was said, go over, if you can, 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, picking up, if I can, in chapter 9, as you know, 2 Corinthians 9, and all I'm going to try to do is make you think a little bit about the gift. What has God given you if you're saved? God has given himself. Back to the physical. You have a physical body with all the systems running, all the senses, eyes, ears, nose, throat. You got all of these things going, and you right now are enjoying your physical body. You're thanking God for it, okay, because you're experiencing it right now. God, when you get saved, God, you receive him as your Savior, and God brings to you himself. Now you already have what you have that's deteriorating your old sin nature. And God has brought to you himself. Now, in Christ, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our Lord Jesus, unspeakable, unutterable. It is beyond words. There is no language to put it, give it expression. How do you explain? Could you ever? Gifts of all gifts. He is the gift that is beyond description, beyond explanation. How so? How so? So a little bit of exercise. How so? In this wonderful gift. Over to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. All of it you know. All we're doing is locking it in again and again and again. John chapter 1, how are we going to enjoy the gift? The Word become flesh. And you understand chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. You have to receive. That's how you had your meal, your food today, your water, whatever you had. You had to receive it to get it inside. You didn't just think about it. You just didn't accept it. Using the glass, if I can find it. I accept the water. I accept it. I haven't received it. When I say I've accepted Christ, I accept him. I accept George Washington and the Washington Monument. I accept Jesus Christ. That's not the same as when you receive it. As many as received the gift. You can't exercise your Christmas candy gifts unless you receive it and eat it. You can't. All of this is wrapped up. You never use it, you know. Now, having said that, you got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now in the atmosphere, in the relationship to enjoy the life of God. You already have your life. How are we to enjoy the life of God? And his wonderful person. He is the gift and the giver. Verse 16. And of his fullness... Remember, that ties to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, of his fullness have all we received, the same verb, and grace for grace. And God brings to us himself forever. Grace upon grace, upon grace. God is a giver of himself over and over and over again. So God, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the gift. God is the gift, the gift of life. He is the life of God. You already have physical life. You need to enjoy God's wonderful, a relationship to God that has no end to it. Eternal life, God's life, Christ is your life now. So therefore, it has grace and grace and grace and grace, and it never ends, never ends. So therefore, over if you would, 1 Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians, picking up in chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what have you done? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he brings to us all the benefits, all the wonderment of God's wonderful person. So when we come to verse 29, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not about our old nature. It's not about us. No, it's about God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made, come into existence, into us, as wisdom us. God is made to us. God brings to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God brings that to us in a most wonderful way. Where is it? In himself. In himself, always you have wisdom, righteousness, glory, etc., etc. You have all of that all the time. Now, having all of that all the time, God giving you himself, what else comes with that? Do we understand? God gives us life, and he gives us everything that we need to enjoy life. So chapter 3. God is the head. He's the creator. And we're not to get all caught up in everybody else in every other way. Verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, as it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, professing themselves, Romans 1, to be wise, they became fools. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, God, what are you going to tell us and help us with? Therefore, don't get caught up in trying to get everything from the world's point of view. Therefore, verse 21, let no man glory, boast in men. For, reason, all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, that's Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Why? Because they're all God's. God brings you the whole ball of wax, as it were. God brings you. It's his creation. The angels, everything, they're all his. The whole thing is his. He brings you what? An unspeakable. God, what did you brought to us? You brought to us your awesome, creative, wonderful, redemptive purpose, and you brought everything to us, and we see it from your window. I'm not Paul. I don't have to look. I look at Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them, the whole wall, all the believers all belong in the body. They all belong to God. The end, verse 23, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. That's why. You say it can't be. Yes, it is. Because the boss owns the whole thing. And when the boss says he's giving you himself, and hang on, you'll see it. When God's giving you himself, say, you got everything with it. You got the everything. You got a relationship to God who has everything. And that's what God says. Don't you understand? It's unspeakable. The life I've given you. Well, now, keep going. Go over, if you would, please, to Romans. Romans and chapter 8. And just picking it up. In Romans in chapter 8. And you already know what God, the Spirit of God, has done for us. And if I can, verse 15. 8:15 Romans. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. On the contrary, but you have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, our Father. A unique, awesome, wonderful relationship to God, to enjoy God, the gift in his Son, to enjoy God, the giver, to enjoy him. Yep. Everything is yours. Okay, hang on. Let's see it again. Slide down to verse 16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together in his wonderful way. So God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And you're going to go and save us in a wonderful way. And you'll save us and help us understand. We're going to have what? A privileged relationship to God, to know him as our Father, to be able to enjoy God in his awesome foreverness. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we enjoy him in Christ, God, in the Son. So when God looks at us, looks at you if you're saved, God sees his son. When God sees his son, he then finds you. Because he died and you believe and have received him as your Savior. And God finds you. Finds you. In a privileged position in his son. Now, so in chapter 8, again, you are joint heirs. Now, in order to put that together, go over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians in chapter 1. And may I go directly in the light of everything to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, Ephesians 1, 9. Having known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that purpose, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him, to bring it all and put it all together. In whom, verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, marked out ahead of time, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, in whom also we, in the beginning, in whom also we were made an inheritance. God made us an inheritance. We are joint heirs with the inheritor. Christ inherits it all. Christ inherits us. When he inherits us, at the same time, he makes us joint heirs with him. He makes us heirs. He is the inheritor. He is the one that gets it all, Christ Jesus. And when in him we have it all. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where does he find his inheritance? In the heart of the believer. And in the heart of the believer, he makes them joint heirs. He makes them inheritors. He makes them share his wonderful life. That's why he died, to give you the life that he has that you didn't have because of sin. Christ gives you that life in the most wonderful way. We enjoy physical life. It's wonderful, awesome. But when it comes to the life of God, we don't have any words to explain it. It's beyond words. It's awesome. My life, your life, in Christ. Hang on, right now. That's what I have, you have. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and God has made unto us. So, and here we are going in chapter, if I can, we're all assembled together. Go back over to Romans in chapter 8, if I can. But to keep it so you connect the pieces in order, we have to do it this way a little bit. Romans in chapter 8. Now, what have you done, God? We're all assembled here in God's presence, and God is dealing with our head and heart to understand. We're saying, should be, thank you, God, for giving me your wonderful person in Christ Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born to die to save such as us. Thank you very much. Now, Romans 8, and picking up, please. As you know, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So everything isn't good, but it works together for good. So we're living in a body, old sin nature, with all the ills and aches. You got them? Physically, mentally, spiritually, they're there. There's no question they're there. So God, we got them. Now, why can everything work together for good? Because Christ crucified that. He isn't working with that. He's letting you live in that body while it dies. How's that? You live in your body while it's dying. And God isn't doing it because he wants it to be a testimony. Acts 1:8, we are his witnesses. We're supposed to be a testimony of light in the darkness, of life in the middle of death. We're supposed to be a little light. We're in the same body everybody else is, but we got saved. And we have a wonderful life. And we're dying just like everybody else is. But at the same breath we're dying, we're enjoying eternal life in a unique relationship to God that is unexplainable. Can't explain it. We can exercise it. We can't explain it. You exercise your body quite freely, but you don't understand it. Now you can say, I'm a doctor. Well, that's good. You still don't understand it. You still don't. But you enjoy it. Boy, do you hang on to it, right? You're careful you don't dump off the roof of a building or something because you're protecting yourself. You don't want to protect it. That's right. But we don't have to trust that. No. We have a unique relationship to God that said, reckon yourself dead. I don't need it. I have something more wonderful. Sin came along and took it away from you. Adam's sin. But the last Adam, Christ Jesus our Lord, has brought it back, enabling God to find his home in the heart of a believer, and the believer to find his home in the heart of God. That's what he's brought. Now, hang on. So, Romans. And in Romans in chapter 28, all things work together for good. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us, A-L-L, all things? Yep. There's nothing missing. Nothing missing at all. Over. No, nothing's missing. In no way. Wow, God. So here we are going. And in the light of that, we have nothing. You don't have to turn there, maybe. Over to like Ephesians 1. Well, do it. Keep you busy. Ephesians and chapter 1 again. And what do you know? Ephesians in chapter 1. Picking up, please. And in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So there's nothing missing. Everything. That's why you had every Peter, Paul, John, life and death, everything is subject to God, and you enjoy a position in God to see it and to understand it. Wow. So, God has blessed us with all heavenly blessings. Now, having said that, I can read it. They aren't going to, I sure hope the government takes care of me. No, they may or may not. But God does. God does. So the believing heart has a resource. God is the resource. And God in Christ, in the heart, has brought all of the resources of his creation and his being into your heart all at once. God, nothing is missing at all. Nothing. Now, so therefore, verse 20, chapter 3. And tie it together. When I say nothing's missing. Chapter 3, picking up all of this is in context, but sliding down to verse 20. Now, unto him that is able, God, to do exceeding abundantly above ALL all that we ask or think. How so? According to the standard of the power, the dynamite, the dynamic that worketh in us. God is able to do everything that has to be done in the way it has to be done, while it has to be done. Our God does it all at once in his marvelous person. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to here we are in these bodies. You're telling us we have everything just because we have you. So since we have you, God, we're missing nothing. So therefore, God, thank you. All the while, God, we're in these bodies that are trying to live in this world with everything else all over the place. And how are we supposed to enjoy, God? How are we supposed to enjoy all these benefits? Oh, God, you got to help us. Philippians chapter 4. And you would remember, God, you have to help us because we got all these problems and we're supposed to enjoy you, a wonderful person. That's right. That's why the branch has to abide in the vine. You have to be trusting God to be God. And knowing you already have the resources. So it isn't a question as you face life and you face the 24-hour day, 7 days a week, as you face life. It isn't as you face life. Say, you work with what you got and as things are. But all the while, God is your life, and there's nothing missing. So therefore, you know, like in Matthew 6, the world's busy trying to survive, eating, drinking, getting enough of everything. But, verse 32, you have a heavenly Father that knoweth your need. God knows your need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply, ALL, all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. God will provide it all of it in his most wonderful way. Now, God, you're going to provide it. But here we are in these bodies. Boy, we should be loaded with benefits. We are. But those benefits are to be expressed and to be found in a relationship to God that expresses God's wonderful person. No flesh, like you read in 1 Corinthians, no flesh shall glory in his presence. God has given you everything. Okay. So therefore, God, you're going to provide all my need. Yes, I am. And you need to understand that my will for your life, to outwork my will for your life in my way. So I got to get you to line up, abiding like the branch with the tree, to abide in there to do it. Now, having said that, in chapter 4, and chapter 4 sliding over, verse 11, not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, wherewith to be content. How so? I know how to be abased. God gave me nothing and put me in poverty in a prison camp. God did that. I know how to be abased and keep trusting God no matter what. I know how to, when I go through the trouble. But God, I have everything. You do. But you have to understand. You have to appropriate. You can't take your pearls before pigs. You can't take what I'm doing and not understand it. What I want to do in your life, I want to be glorified, and I want you to be very thankful and understanding. Therefore, you're going to have to learn. All the benefits of heaven are yours in me, said God. But you have to learn how to, I'm going to use them and do them in my wonderful way. Psalm 25, verse 12. And the one that fears God, I will teach in the way that I will choose. I will teach them based on who they are and where they are, and I'll raise them up. Everyone's different, different, different. Now, therefore, verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. If I don't go through the process of learning, I'm never going to be able to understand to be content, to be wonderfully, wonderfully satisfied that I'm saved. God, just to know you, just to be able to say that you have made your home in my heart, and I find my home in Christ Jesus in your heart. That's enough. That's enough. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, Philippians, since we're in Philippians chapter 1, as you would know, verse 6. Being confident, bold, free, frank, fearless, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it isn't a question, why I got saved and nothing. No, if nothing's happening, that's your problem, not God's. It's up to you. If you really got saved, then you need to fix whatever the relationship is, because something isn't right. Because say, well, I got saved and nothing. No, something's wrong. Something, either you're not saved, or you're doing something wrong, that's for sure. But that isn't correct, biblically. Therefore, God, Philippians chapter 2, and we'll close with that. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, when the apostle Paul was there, but in his absence, but now, much more, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, which I just said to you, for us. Work out. You have to work it out. It isn't there. It isn't a question. It's not there. It's a question. You got to work it out. Your physical body, you may get stuck with all different things you got to live with. But when it comes to God, no, you need to be keeping your relationship active, healthy, and holy, and happy. Keep your relationship good, in good shape, so that you keep enjoying, because it's never going to stop. It's only going to get better. Therefore, in verse 13, for it is God which worketh where? In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's being busy all the time, and we just have to line up and understand. God lets us fall down. God lets us hurt. God lets us get confused. God lets a lot of things. We live in a world of darkness that doesn't want any light. So the world isn't going to help us. No, we're going to have to learn that we're in the world, but we're not of it. And we have to trust God in the whole process. And thus, God, here we are to say thank you for life. Thank you for your presence, God, which is what Christmas is, that you brought your wonderful person in Christ so that you could find your home in our little hearts. That's what it's about. And when we received you as our Savior, we need to exercise the gift that you've given us to honor you and obey. In other words, you can have a gift and put it away. And we've had that happen sometime, I'm sure you have. We have someone giving gifts and you put everything away after the Christmas season. And then next year you're looking for stuff. And there you find a box that was never opened. Never opened. Somehow it got put away with everything else and never was opened. And wow, you want to open the gift. You want to exercise the gift that God has given you. Exercise and thank God if you're saved for a unique, awesome relationship to God, not based on us humans, not based on our intellect or our IQ or our genius or our religious systems, political systems. No. It's all based on the fact that God in Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea to die on the cross to save such as us. With a salvation that is unexplainable, but most profitable, most pleasing to God, that we would exercise it. Don't understand it, God, but thank you for it. So, our Father and God, we thank you. So set apart these days and hours, all that lies ahead, and put it all together for us, inch by inch, that God, we'd lock on to that which is solid ground in the midst of the quicksand and the marshes. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.